Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean Danny. It's the three-day weekend. What are you doing inside your house for 3 days instead of 2 days?
Well, to make it 2 days, I went to work yesterday. And they wanted me to go into work on Monday, so to make it just a one-day weekend.
Are you going in on Monday?
No, I'm not. I chose to go in on a Saturday just to get it over with because I knew, A, I could, like, make it up with the 2 days. I'd get more hours. So make more money.
Gotcha.
But some shifts, like, they're forcing people to come in on Monday, and because of that, according to the contract, they have to pay them double pay.
Yeah.
So they'll get double pay and holiday pay.
See, that's what I was wondering if you were going to go do it.
It was voluntary, so I just get paid, like, overtime.
Oh, that's not very fun.
No. It's... Speaking of not very fun, Sean, I don't know if you the news made it all the way out to you in Jersey, or if you saw it on Reddit, but one of the piers at Fisherman's Wharf, like, caught on fire pretty major a couple days ago.
Yeah, my my girlfriend asked me to seek my California family and friends on what was going on, and I was too busy saving the world and Twitterman to ask. I figured at some point I would figure out what happened through news or something. I just wouldn't be the first to know, but I did hear about it.
Yeah, apparently it was the pier that had all the war ships on it, and that arcade museum that we went into.
Really? That's the pier? Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so luckily the museum was undamaged. And as the fireworks, as the fire teams were showing up, they were able to save one of the ships that was, like, the fire was, like, pretty much, like, right at.
Got you. Did they say what caused the fire?
I had read two different things, but it seemed like it was one of the processing plants for, like, clams or oysters or something like that. One of the fish processing plants, seafood processing plants. But it was the – it's funny because I have a picture of the name of the ship from when we went in September of 2013.
Yes.
It's the USS Pampa Nido, the warship, right, the battleship there that we took the, we were able to take the walking tour of, not the submarine that was there. So – luckily, like, it was, like, the, literally the fire was, like, going across its bow as the fire department, firemen showed up. And, like, the fire was so intense, like, the first fire truck that showed up started, like, the paint started blistering and stuff. So then, like, they had to, like, turn the second fire truck that showed up had to, like, spray water on the first fire truck that showed up.
To save the truck.
Yes, and so, unfortunately, like, I don't know how bad it is. They haven't, I'm sure they're still investigating it and, like, checking it for a... if it's structurally sound or not. Because by the time, like, the boats got there, the fire boats, it had already spread underneath the pier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was a pretty intense picture on Reddit, like, at night. I mean, it's really cool, but it also looked, it's like, but it's also, like, pretty shitty because you know what's going on. Like,
yeah.
But it's not a small fire.
No, the picture that I saw last night, it was pretty, it was huge. It was not, no joke.
Right, I mean, luckily, like, anything that can be replaced, like, nothing that can't be replaced was damaged. Like, some of the one-of-a-kind things at the arcade museum and the battleships. So, it's just a matter of whether or not they have to, like, remove everything from there and then rebuild the pier like they did in, like, Santa Barbara and Venice and stuff.
Yeah, it's I mean, if they're saying the fire got underneath, I mean, that's pretty intense. I mean, I don't know how sturdy it's going to be at that point.
Right.
But then again, I don't know things about fire, so.
Or piers.
Or piers.
You mean you're not going to pull the Donald Trump where it's like, I know more about fires than anyone else in the world, or I know more about piers than anyone else in the world?
Well, I know about my peers, but I don't know about peers.
I know that Pier 1 Imports is closing. That's the only thing I know about peers. I don't know what they're gonna be able to replace that business at Pier 1. with the first pier ever in the world, or at least the United States.
Maybe somebody will open up Pier 2.
Maybe they'll be smart, and it, like, instead of it just being a regular import company, they'll like make it like the Italian Mafia, where it was just a front for a gambling racket.
Exactly.
So what are you drinking, Sean?
So from Victory Brewing, I'm having their Java Casket Gold. This is a bourbon barrel-aged blonde coffee stout with oats, brown sugar, milk, and cocoa, coming in at 11.8% ABV.
Sounds fancy.
After the first taste, it was very, like, the bourbon just kind of, like, was overpowering, but after a few sips, it started to, like, mellow down, where you still get like a very high bourbon taste to it, but now I could enjoy the stout and the sweet stout kind of rolling through. Very good cocoa and taste to it. It's actually really good. It's just one of those ones where you have to get, like, you got to take the first punch in the face before it really starts to, like, calm down.
Right. And maybe as it warms up, the flavors will develop more and yada yada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely, definitely one to get, though. Pretty darn good.
So nice. They're based in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Downingtown. Downingtown? Yeah. I don't know where that is, according to me. I'll have to look it up.
It's in town somewhere. It's down in town.
Downtown, everyone's waiting for you. I don't know. Something like that.
You know, before the show, we discussed how, like, we have not said anything repulsive enough to make your parents stop listening.
Yeah.
I think you may have just accomplished that feat with that little song.
I don't think so. I doubt it.
Challenge accepted. So according to the handy map, there's a lot of weird named towns in Pennsylvania, like Phoenixville.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it Phoenix. There's already a Phoenix. Is there a Phoenixville?
We have a king of Prussia. I wonder if there's somebody there that's the king of Prussia, but I don't know what Prussia is.
There's a Coatesville and a South Coatesville.
Yeah. Oh, Downingtown is not that far away.
It's by Lionville and Exton and Westchester and Thorndale.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, if I was trying to go to Hershey, or I would definitely be able to stop by.
There's a Wegmans.
This is Wegmans is the shit, man.
I know. I like Wegmans when I went to New York.
Best grocery store in America, Wegmans.
All-star ESPN football commentator Ron Jaworski.
Mm-hmm.
He has a golf club, like, relatively close to both. Well, it's close to the brewery, but it's closer to the Wegmans.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stop at Wegmans, buy yourself a couple 12-packs, and go play golf at Ron Jaworski's country club. apparently, Downington is really nice because, like, literally on the other side of the freeway, the 30,
yeah,
is another country club.
Dude. How many country clubs do they really need?
Apparently two. And there's a Lloyd Park, a Carden Park, and a Bell Tavern Park. Like, all, like, surrounding the brewery, too.
East Branch Brewing Company. I wonder how that is.
And I don't think you can take Mike to go to that brewery, dude.
Which one?
Victory.
Why?
It seems like there's a high school too close.
That's fucked up, man. Why gotta be like that? Why you gotta tartar his name? Slander his name, man. Come on.
Well, is it slander if it's true?
Yeah. Well, I will say this: East Branch Brewing Company looks like they have some awesome food, though. Like, I'm ready to, like, go drive out there and order me some to-go food to eat in my car.
I was going to ask, how open are you, have any of your places opened yet?
No, everything's takeout only.
because they can do dine-in in California now, which is like apparently even California is more like opening up faster than like Philadelphia. So like if you serve food, like if you're a brewery, you still can only be open for to-go food orders unless you also serve food. Then you can have people dine in, but then you have to my wife went to go pick up some Carl's Jr. and she went inside because the drive-through line was like long and there was nobody inside.
Yeah.
And she said that they had like every other booth open.
So they're still like keeping people away from each other.
Yes. So you still have to maintain like 6 feet of distance and stuff and like wear your masks when you're not eating or drinking or whatever. But, and so there's a brewery, I can't remember which one it is, but they only serve beer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they reached an agreement with like a Domino's pizza that's like next, like relatively close by, so that they could sell the Domino's pizza out of the brewery. And then by then extent, they're selling food.
Loopholes.
Yes. Oh man. But
we need to spend less time looking for loopholes and more time helping each other, man.
Right. But I was gonna like go the opposite route than you. You were very like kind and like humanitarian. I was thinking because I went grocery shopping and there was a couple people that weren't wearing masks, like three people out of everybody there that wasn't wearing masks. And I'm like, you know what? If you're gonna refuse to wear a mask, like at a grocery store, why stop there, man? If you're gonna stick it to the man, why don't you like take off your shirt and shoes too? Right? Like if being forced to wear a mask is oppressing your rights, then isn't being forced to wear a shirt also oppressing your rights if you don't want to wear a shirt?
Yeah. What if I just want to walk around and let the boys hang out, get some fresh air once in a while?
I mean,
that they don't... sunlight.
Pants were always optional. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like shirts and shoes were the only thing the store is enforced. Because it didn't say no shirt, no shoes, no pants, no service. It just said no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, like, and I saw a guy, but by the time I thought about saying something to him about he should take off his shirt, he was gone.
Yeah, it's like the same thing, like where I have a person at work that refuses to wear a mask for medical reasons, and then he'll walk around and say like, why are these people such babies? And I just like look at him and go, excuse me, are we really going there? No, you gotta zip it up. Like, I ain't gonna listen to your slander. All right, broski.
My favorite argument about the masks, and even just like the cloth ones or like the flimsy paper ones, are people like arguing. It's like, well, you're just rebreathing the same CO2 that you breathed out. You're gonna suffocate and cause yourself like brain damage and stuff. And it's like, so we're murdering doctors by making them like even before the virus, like when they would perform surgeries and stuff, like, and they'd have to wear a mask. Like, we're just killing doctors?
Danny, why don't let everybody know the government's secret that we're killing doctors left and right with these masks? How dare you?
Right, some guy, I saw a post of a tweet that was on Reddit, and it was somebody, like, it was a doctor. It's like, yeah, some guy came in for a treatment, and he refused to wear a mask, and he's like, why are you scared and being a sheep like everyone else? And the guy's like, yeah, you gotta go. And so he didn't hear you, like, I refused to treat him. The patient, and it's like, wait, you're calling the doctor? You're telling the doctor he's scared because he's wearing a mask that he's always worn?
Man, people just don't know, man. They just don't know.
No, they don't, dude. It's just ridiculous, man. Like, I know a couple people that are, like, angry that they have to wear a mask, and they're like, I'm not going to stores that make me wear a mask. But they're not, like, freaking out at the store trying to, like, cause a scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least they're like, well, this place is where you can wear a mask. I guess I just won't shop there then. They've lost my business. And it's like, that's cool. It's like the Costco boycott thing where they're like, Costco's like, you have to wear a mask. And they're like, well, fine. If you're going to make me wear a mask, I refuse to shop there. And Costco's like, that's literally what we just said.
Take that. We're not even thinking about you, man. Relax.
Yeah, we're good. We're busy.
I feel sorry for you that you won't have my business anymore. All right, Karen, go shop somewhere else, please. I got other stuff to do.
And the responses where people are like, "Well, if you're gonna make me wear a mask, or else I can't shop there, and I refuse to wear a mask, so I'm not shopping there, then I want my I want a refund on my membership. And they're like, no, that's not happening.
Nah, bruh.
We don't feel like what we're asking is unreasonable, so we're going to keep your membership money, and we've already got money from you. We're cool.
Exactly. So what are you drinking, Danny?
Real quick on a side note, I haven't tested this theory yet. I haven't had the need to, but apparently, at least in some states, you don't have to have a Costco membership card to buy alcohol.
To go in and buy alcohol?
Yes.
Really?
Because I think it has something to do with like the liquor laws. Like you can't form a club or whatever for alcohol or whatever it is.
Interesting.
Right. So, Sean, there's this person that I follow on the Facebook.
Yes.
His Facebook page is Drink for the Love of Beer. Mm-hmm. And basically he goes and buys beers and does reviews.
Gotcha.
Facebook.
That sounds pretty good. I think we should sue him because he's a copyright infringement man.
Actually, I think we should keep our little like gig on the download because he was first.
Damn it. All right. Well, we just say we drink beer and talk about anime.
Yeah. And we don't drink beer for the love of beer. We drink beer for the anger that it causes when it's bad.
We're drinking it to look cool. We want to be a part of the it crowd.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we grew beards and handlebar mustaches.
Yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with I've had a beard since, 2006 or anything like that.
Right. Speaking of, I was running out of shampoo, so yesterday I placed an order for some shampoos from Can You Handlebar.
Ooh, my favorite place for all your beard wants.
Our needs. Exactly. So, in honor of your life, Sean, he did a review on this beer, and his reviews like make everything sound like pretty good. Like if it's a good beer or a great beer, like he makes it sound even better. Mm-hmm. And so he did the beer that this review was called Bourbon Barrel Aged Skipping Stone. Mm-hmm. It is a Belgian style quad ale aged in bourbon barrels. Mm-hmm. It's a 13% alcohol by volume, and it comes in a 12.7-ounce bottle. And it says that it was brewed by and bottled by Jackie O's Brewery in 2018.
Interesting.
So Jackie O's, as you are aware, and I don't know if other people, but it's in Athens, Ohio. Not the Athens, Georgia, where the B-52s are from and REM, but the Athens in Ohio where Jackie O's Brewery are from.
Because they got that red wine.
I don't know. Whenever I hear Jackie O's, it always makes me think of that Rage Against the Machine song, Tire Me. Gotcha. I want to be like Jackie O, please don't die. Yeah, we can both scare your parents away with our singing.
This is just everyday life for me. Are you kidding me? I just like... I like jumped on the couch and yelled, I'm fighting an elder dragon as I'm like randomly petting my senior dog. Singing the Dova King song terribly.
Well, normally you mean?
That's fair.
So the artwork on it looks like something out of like you would see like written into a Mark Twain book. It's a kid wearing like overalls with like the legs cut off to where they're like just below the knees, not wearing shoes, wearing one of those like wide brim hats, standing at the riverbank, skipping stones across it. Mm-hmm. And written on the side, it says, in early 2011, we began to experiment with Trappist yeast, crafting some traditional Abbey style ales. Initially, three beers were designed and brewed. Each was named after one of the three watersheds that feeds Athens County: Shade Abbey, Raccoon Double, and Hawking Triple. When it came time to brew a fourth quad, we thought long and hard about what to name it. Through reflection, the innocent act of skipping stones immediately skimmed to the surface. A timeless action of nature and motion inspired a beer both rich and elegant. Bourbon Barrel Skipping Stone exudes powerful notes of caramel, dark fruit, spice, and oak. A beautiful beer to imbibe in subtle surroundings where the mind can roam. Mm. And, you know, taking my first couple sips of it, without reading the description, I was thinking it's very barley winey in its flavor.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way, like...
Is there a good way, though?
Yes, there is. Because, like, you get that, like, the bourbon, and you get, like, the toffee and the caramel notes without it being, like, sweet. It's not like a pastry stout or something like that, where it's just, like, you're drinking candy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're getting, like, hints of, like, sweet flavors. I don't know if that makes sense.
Nah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's really good. I wasn't sure because, you know, both of us have had, you know, bad experiences with Belgians. And we also don't like the Belgian beers either.
True. Fuck the Belgians.
Except their waffles. Their waffles are the shit.
Well, their yeast tastes terrible. I don't care how good they are in high gravity beer.
Yeah, you're missing out, dude. This is actually really... I mean, you probably can't get it where you are now, but in the past, in a past life, in a galaxy far, far away.
True.
Oh, man. So, you know, earlier we talked about how, like, beer, like, places, you know, with Costco, about places not being able to sell beer, alcohol with, like, a membership or whatever. So, apparently, Electric Brewing, they claim they're in Temecula, but they're really in Murrieta. They lie.
Why do they lie? Is it Murrieta that bad now? Is Murrieta, like, a bad place to be down south?
I don't know. I think maybe because Temecula is a more recognizable name. But it's funny because the street that they're on, like, they made a new on-ramp, off-ramp, I mean, right there. But the street, and so you can just go straight down the street to where they are. And so the brewery's on the right of the street, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the left of the street is the sign that says, now entering Temecula. Like, they're literally, like, across the street from Temecula.
Mm.
So maybe that's why they put their in Temecula, because they're, like, that close.
So close, yet so far.
Right. So, but they ended up making a membership club where it was $150 to join.
Mm-hmm.
And your benefits that you got, you know, normally, like, different places you sign up for their club and you get so many bottles of beer, or you get some sort of a gift, like a hat or a shirt or a glass or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
For this one, all you get is you get front of line privileges for the releases, and you get access to buy club only membership.
Hmm. That doesn't seem very worth it.
Right, except...
I guess you get front of the line privileges.
Yeah, it's like buying a fast pass at Disneyland.
Woo!
So, you know, of course, when this was announced, the comments were like, wait, so what do you get out of this? Like, what are you giving us to pay, give you money? And slowly but surely people realized, oh, we're not getting anything other than the opportunity to buy stuff. And some people, like, were shitting on it. And other people, of course, were like, hey, check this out. And, like, posting other people's names. And when they went on sale, it sold out in minutes.
Should have had that membership card.
Like, the membership sold out in minutes. There was 100 of them at $150.
Wow.
So, like, you paid...
That's what we're going to do. We're going to start a membership. You can talk to us on a Facebook chat.
That's called Patreon. So people paid $15,000 to not have to wait in line very long.
Well, I mean, I don't like line, so, I mean, I get the appeal, but that seems a little steep.
Right. And, of course, you know, most of the people that, like, going in there, it's like this brewery, like, Monkish, 450 North and stuff, where people are buying the absolute maximum they can buy every single time. Mm-hmm. So then they can put them online and sell them. I mean, if you're going to – if you're one of – if that to me, those are the people that probably bought them up, or the people that aren't going to – it's not the people that want to buy Electric's Hazies that bad so they can sit by the pool or by the barbecue and enjoy a can of Electric Brewing beer. It's the people that are going to flip it and trade it.
I need my trade bait. How am I going to get that crazy bottle of so-and-so from Arkansas, this and
or,
that?
Or they're just going to trade it for bourbon, and then they're going to sell the bourbon.
Hmm. Is bourbon easier to sell?
The it holds its value better. Bourbon is like, at this point right now, bourbon is like the property of alcohol.
I need to invest in better stocks like bourbon.
Right. Well, because like even like Eagle Rare, which was like the up above Buffalo Trace.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are buying it, like, you're supposed to go to Stater Brothers and get it for like $25.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagle Rare, $25 or $30, the Eagle Rare 10-year.
Mm-hmm.
But because people are buying it and like stocking it, they had to take the 10-year off of it because it's like all like they're drinking, you're using it up so fast that it's like the barrel's not, the bottle's not all 10-year stock anymore.
Wow.
And the same thing happened with like Japanese whiskey. They had to take the years off of it. So if you find like a 12-year or 17-year Japanese whiskey, you're probably paying, 10, 20 times the original cost of the bottle.
Mm. Because it's definitely, because it has the time date on it.
Not so much the time stamp, but it has the number of years that it was aged. Like it's a 12-year aged barrel or a 17-year.
Dude, that's crazy to think. Like you brew a bourbon or whatever, whiskey, and then you let it sit in a keg for like 10 years.
Yes.
Dude, it's...
Well, not a keg, but a barrel. So like,
a barrel, my bad. Barrel.
Right.
Barrel.
Well, like the barrel aging is what gives it its color.
Yeah.
Part of it. And then like it mellows out the flavor, and then you get the flavors of the barrel, like the tobacco and the wood and stuff. But because basically, like if you don't barrel age whiskey, it's moonshine and it's just clear. And it tastes like burning, according to Ralph Wiggum.
It tastes like burn.
Yes.
See, this is why I'm glad I'm not super into bourbons and whiskeys, because I feel like I would be doing some basement stilling. And I don't need any more expensive toys.
Right. But you got to do something with your mash that you're not using.
I don't know, man. Do I really want to buy another, $200 to $500 toy?
I mean, at some point, probably, yes.
That's what I keep thinking. It's like, at some point, yes, but not today.
When you get a bonus or something. What about your stimulus check?
I don't qualify for that.
You're too wealthy?
I don't know. I don't like to call it too wealthy. I like to call it that the man just don't want to pay me back.
Oh, man. So I sent you a YouTube video, Sean.
I was very confused. I was expecting some kind of like review, this or that, and then all I see is fucking anime Toucan Sam fucking talking.
Well, that's that commercial, and then redesign has got grown men more pissed off than grown men need to be, Sean.
All right, lay it on me. What's wrong?
I was reading like one of the comments on the YouTube for the thing was that it's too femboy looking.
It's too femboy.
Yes.
We're talking about the rainbow Fruit Loops cereal. It's too for children. It's too femboy.
Yes.
Is this where we're at with life? We're not fighting hunger. We're fighting whether or not a children's cereal is too commercial, is too femboy. Did we say fuck world hunger and go, we need to attack this?
Well, I think they view it as they're doing their part to fight SJW bullshit, according to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it goes back to the Costco like mask thing. It's like, well, because I don't like the redesign of Toucan Sam, I'm never buying a box of Fruit Loops again. And to which Kellogg's is like, you're a fucking grown-ass man. This is marketed to kids. We weren't expecting you to buy this. You're not our target audience.
Dude, I kind of want a bowl of Fruit Loops right now, though, man. No lie.
Right?
It worked. It worked for me.
I was going to say, and so, like, I mean, I understand some of the complaints, like, because it's the way its mouth and beak is drawn is a little, like, weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, birds, like, the original toucan salmon, every other bird that's drawn is their mouth, their beak is the upper, basically, like, their upper lip.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk with their beak and their mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Versus this, where its beak is its nose, but then its mouth is kind of slightly askew underneath it, and then it has, like, the sonic human teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I saw the commercial, and I'm like, I bet kids will probably want to eat the shit out of this cereal after seeing that commercial. Even more so than they did before.
I mean, I definitely want a bowl of Fruit Loops right now. I haven't had a bowl in Fruit Loops in a really long time.
The last kids, quote-unquote kids cereal I bought was Apple Jacks.
Interesting. I am a huge fan of the chocolate peanut butter Cheerios. That is my main jam.
Yeah.
And it typically is like a, you know, if I have dinner too early, it's like my late night snack.
Yeah, comedian Janine Garofalo years ago had a bit about that, like going to see her, you know, she's like 9 out of 10 personal trainers recommend a bowl of cereal right before going to bed. But yeah, no, cereal is awesome to have when it's like, I'm hungry, but I'm also like really, really lazy right now.
Yeah, I've had cereal for dinner, and there have been argumentative points of relationships regarding cereal for dinner.
Now, here's the immortal, like, philosophical question, Sean.
Yes.
Is cereal a soup?
What? How is it a soup?
It's a broth with items in it, like a soup is.
Cereal is cereal. It's not a soup. There's no cold soup. Give me a cold soup. No.
There is cold
bullshit.
Soup. There is.
No.
Forced soup. A Russian soup is served cold.
That's because they're fucking poor and it's the Soviet Union time. They just didn't have fire to heat it up.
They adapted their diet to the what they had available.
To the times, exactly.
Well, we can just ground up a lot of beets into liquid form and then just drink it cold because it's snowing outside and we can't afford to turn on the heater.
Dude, I just looked up cold soup and it says 20 chilled soup recipes. What is fucking wrong with you people? You're the problem with this world.
Was one of those recipes, open the cereal box, pour the cereal into the bowl, add milk, and enjoy?
Oh, fucking leave this planet. Dude, why is there a bunch of cookies? What happened? This is why you can't go on the internet anymore. You try to look up something, and then the next thing you know, you're three rabbit holes away from your original objective.
Right.
Why do I have to hit a button that says keep reading before you start just changing the topic? Did I get bored after reading the intro?
Well, you read the headline, and they probably figure that's enough.
Peach and tomato? Fucking gross. Oh, my God. I can't stand this. Cold asparagus soup. Yeah, that sounds fucking wonderful. I'll have to remind myself to hold that during the winter when the heater breaks or something.
Well, it's like if you go out to if you make some asparagus and then the next day you're like, ooh, there's leftover asparagus, but I don't want to like waste electricity. I'm just gonna go ahead and just shovel it in my mouth cold.
Chilled blueberry soup? That just sounds like, you know, like a blueberry jelly or like gelatin, like.
It's like a blueberry jello that you didn't wait long. You didn't add the gelatin into.
Cold grilled vegetable soup because you didn't want to heat up your Campbell's soup because you were that lazy.
I think this is the most angered you have ever been in our like almost 150 episodes.
I'm super triggered right now, man. I can't. No, I just can't. I will not accept soup as being cold as something delicious. That's just because you're either too lazy or you can't afford to heat up your soup. Dude, even Goofy heated up that soup in that Goofy movie with a cigarette lighter because he knows it has to be warm. He did everything he could to provide warm soup to his child.
His ungrateful child?
True. That is very true.
It's like, that's one of those movies where, like, you watch it as a kid and you're like, why is Goofy being a bad dad? And then you get older and you're like, why is Max being a piece of shit kid?
Dude, look, I just, Google even says, cereal can be added to soup as Krispies, but cereal as such doesn't qualify to be soup. Boom. Thank you.
So is a hot dog a sandwich?
According to Alton Brown, it is, and I can't argue with Alton Brown.
There you go. Okay. that one's answered. That Sean's answering all the important philosophical questions.
That's what we're here for.
So, speaking of, you know, continuing the theme of, like, grown-ass men being triggered over shit that doesn't concern them anymore.
Hey, Danny, did you know about the soup being cold?
Yes, Sean, that's why I mentioned it. Yeah. I knew soup was available to be, had the opportunity to be served cold.
Somebody is listening to the show and commenting on it through text messages.
Mike said that he's not interested in high school girls anymore.
I don't think that was the conversation.
Or he said that his probation got lifted.
Poor Mike.
Just one innocent comment, one innocent unknowing comment years ago about a mutual friend, sister being cute. And then the reply was, oh, she's in high school. It's like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we're like, bullshit, Mike, you knew. And then we haven't let it go since.
It's like how I like to remind Gecko that how to use a towel. Dude, that was one of the most ridiculous trips or, like, times I've ever, like, seen. Like, just going up a roller coaster and being cursed at because Gecko is so afraid of the roller coaster. It was like, and, you know, it was,
Was it in English or Spanish?
It was English.
Then he wasn't that upset. You know, you're like, when you're bilingual, and like, English is your second language, when you're truly upset, you convert to your original language. It's like an instinct.
True. Very true. Yeah, we were going up Millennium Force, which is like, in the early 2000s, was the tallest coaster in the world. So it's pretty tall, even though it's beaten now, but man, it was just so hilarious just listening to him yell and just like, fuck you, I just laugh. Good times.
Right, and it's not like the tallest roller coaster in the world because it got shorter, it's because somebody else got taller.
The problem is, Kingdom... Fuck. Anyways, the tallest coaster is actually 40 minutes from me, and it is in Jackson, New Jersey. But basically, you're in a train, and you pull up, you like go out of the station, then you stop, and then what it does is it charges. It has like a magnetic charge, and it just builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds, and then it shoots you. Like, basically, up this, like, 90-degree, like, slope, and you just go, and all you do is travel up, and I don't remember how high it is. I think it's, like, 456 feet in the air, and then all you do is, like, you go up, and then you go, like, over the ridge, because I think to be considered, like, a roller coaster, you have to have, like, a drop or something. So you go up, and then, you come down, and then all you do is, you come back down and then you go back to the station. So it's like a very, like, it's like a 10-second ride. It's very short. But that is literally the tallest roller coaster in the world, is a 6-second ride.
I think Jody will like be confused. She's like, wait, I didn't know like rides could last this long. Side by words, huh?
I got no response.
So, anyways, as I was saying, grown ass men triggered. They did another reboot. This is the third, well, I guess second reboot, because it was the original version that came out when I was a kid, and they did a reboot like I don't know how many years ago, but I'm going to use the Reddit math, because some guy was replying to a post on Reddit, and it was like, yeah, Hitler killed himself like more than 10 years ago. And someone was like, dude, it was this long ago. And the guy replied to that second guy and was like, well, was the first guy wrong? That was more than 10 years ago. But they redid the Thundercats cartoon and like nobody watched it. And it was super Go!
Go!
Which is funny because that's the name of the new show, Thundercats Go.
Yeah.
Like Teen Titans Go. Apparently that's like the naming convention. But anyways,
are we gonna rename the show We Are Adult Show Go?
That's only if we need to reboot and like skew younger. it's like the meme where it's like intended like target audience for Call of Duty and it's adults, and it's like target audience for Pokemon and it's kids, and then it's like actual audience for Call of Duty and it's kids, and actual audience for Pokemon and it's adults. But anyways, so they made this like super gritty, dark, like violent reboot, and like nobody watched it and nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
So, cue now, they did a reboot of Thundercats called Thundercats Go, and I was just flipping through and it was on. So I'm like, hey, you know what, I'm going to watch a couple episodes, and it's very much for the time, mm-hmm. as far as the way the animation style is, the fact that it's like 2 15-minute cartoons per 30-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and it also looks like the animation style looks very much like Steven Universe or Clarence or any of the, you know, the newer shows that are on.
Mm. Like the Fruit Loops commercial?
What's that?
Like the Fruit Loops commercial?
Yes. Except less fanboy. Oh, man. But, so watching it, you know, I can see how kids, I can see that it's, oh yeah, this is definitely for kids. This is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
My only problem, and this isn't necessarily like, again, I'm not triggering anything, but it just doesn't make sense that Lion-O, the leader of the Thundercats, like in the original cartoon, he was kind of like childish and immature, almost like Luke Skywalker in the first Star Wars episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like kind of thrust, he was like young and thrust into a position where he didn't necessarily belong. But he also had people around him that were older and wiser that were kind of his advisors. And this one, man, he's a fucking idiot.
Mm.
Like any of the problems are caused by him. Like there's like the one, it was like, he's like going around with Snarf and something like falls out of the sky and he comes up and it's like, pull this lever. And then he pulls the lever, and like as he's pulling the lever, like this whatever was covering the door like came off, and it was like, do not pull this lever under any circumstances. Never ever pull this lever. And he's just like running around like saying stupid things, and his tongue like wagging out, and I don't know.
Why was there a smoke screen around the warning sign?
Right, like it's one thing for him to be like immature and doesn't like necessarily like act with wisdom, like he just acts like impulsive. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for, immature and impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
But the new Thundercats, man, he's just an idiot. And I watched like two cartoons, and it was like, all right, I don't need to watch this ever again. But I'm also not gonna go and make a 15-minute YouTube video about how
it's terrible.
This cartoon is ruining my childhood, and social justice warriors are making everything bad, and fanboys are selling me cereal. So,
jeez.
Ruby Rose has quit being Batwoman.
Ruby Rose? Who's Ruby Rose?
She's the actress that was playing Batwoman.
Well, the show hasn't even came out.
Yes, it has.
Why
they're like they're done with season one, and they're on to their like second crossover, and they've done at least two crossover events.
Is this some DC Universe app that I don't pay for that I'm too poor to understand?
You mean the WB on TV?
Oh yeah, I don't have cable or anything.
Right, so it's part of like the Arrowverse. So it's like Superwoman, the Arrow, Flash, and Batman.
Mm.
And Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm.
And so like the last the last, like, because, like, she joined the, basically, like, she first appeared when they had their Flashpoint crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did her episode, her shows, and then, like, at the end of the, like, I think it was, like, the midway season point, they did Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm.
And it, which was pretty funny because, like, they brought back, like, a bunch of people that had originally played, like, different, either Supermans or Lex Luthers. And so, like, and Robins, too. Like, they brought back the original Burt Ward Robin.
Oh, really?
Like, well, I don't know if he was Robin, but they brought back Burt Ward as a role.
Gotcha.
And they brought, like, Brandon Ralph Ruth, who's in Legends of Tomorrow, but they also put him in his old Superman costume from the Superman Returns movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think he played, like, the old gray hair, gray sideburned Superman from Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Interesting.
So, I don't know if he necessarily played that character per se, but that was the role he filled, because he's old and has gray hair now.
Mm.
So, you know, of course, you know, the same people that, you know, use terms like femboy describing, you know, serial mascots and that, you know, Thundercats go ruin their childhood are like, this just shows that Batwoman should never have been made as a show because even the actress doesn't want to be on it. So bad. Batwoman's in trouble because Ruby Rose is leaving. And it's
well,
like,
I mean, they're not wrong. The show is in jeopardy when the main character is leaving, trying to leave the role.
Right. And like, you know, as it was happening, people were kind of unsure. Like, they just knew she left. They didn't know why. And like, at some point during filming, she was injured. But then she kind of came out, like, recently, like, in the last couple days, saying that pretty much the way she left was just the schedule. Because, you know, people talk about, like, filming a TV show, how it's amazing. You only go in for, like, so many hours a day, and then you're home, and you're home on the weekends. It's almost like having a normal job versus being on a movie set where you're, like, on location for weeks or months on end,
mm-hmm.
shooting all random times. And, you know, friend of the show, Solid Snack, like, he's a huge CW Arrowverse fan.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting like some of my nuggets of information from him. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much my only source of information that I care about. Because it's too much effort to use the Google machine.
Or to watch it.
Well, I mean, that's beyond the realm of possibilities at this point.
I mean, I do want to watch it, but now I'm like, I didn't even think about it. Now I'm like, do I even want to watch it?
Right. Well, like, and you know, it's like reading the DC or Marvel comics. It's like, I want to watch Batwoman, but I also don't want to have to, like, know what's going on in, like, the other shows. Because, like, The Flash is, like, what, 10 seasons in or something stupid?
Yeah, I don't give a shit about The Flash.
Right. Except, like,
he's probably the only guy that finishes quicker than Danny.
Yeah, but he has a valid excuse.
Man, I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one.
That's a pretty good one. I appreciate that one. Wait, that's called bringing it. That's a callback to a previous joke, Sean. That's a definite comedy like piece. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, you know, like Ruby Rose kind of made everybody kind of at least happy that wanted to watch the show versus like the anti SJW people because you know Batwoman likes the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Rose likes the ladies.
The ladies are nice.
But it's funny because there were some people that said that Ruby Rose wasn't lesbian enough to play Batwoman. She's only kind of lesbian.
I don't even know what that means, man. Why? It's just a show, man. Why do we make things so hard?
Like it's like her nose isn't constantly buried in a woman's crotch, so she's not she actually comes up for air every once in a while, so she's not lesbian enough.
She's taking too many air breaks during muff diving.
Yes. I don't know, man. But then the other thing, too, is, like, because she's been in, like, the Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious movies and a couple other action, like, I want to say Predator, but she's been in action movies, so she's definitely able to, like, at least fight on screen.
Yeah.
Which is what you need as Batwoman. And she kind of has that attitude. Like, I watched a couple clips of her first appearance, and it's like, dude, her she plays both the Kate and the Batwoman characters pretty well. And according to the Solid Snack, even the character that plays the sister, who's also like the villain,
mm-hmm.
Is really good.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing reason I didn't watch it too is because all the CW shows suffer from the same thing where like the first season or two was really good and then it just drops off in quality immediately from there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But a show that doesn't, didn't drop off in quality, Sean, that you watched previously, and I was like, wait, I wanted to watch that too. So, is a Cautious Hero.
Dude, Ruby Rose has some fucking big-ass eyebrows.
She can wear the cowl and cover them, so it's fine.
True. I'm just, like, looking at her Instagram page. And it's like, just like, you know, shaved head and giant eyebrows is what I'm getting from it.
Yeah, but they're not like, I don't know. They don't look too bad.
No, I didn't say they look bad.
I mean, you know, it's not like they're unibrow or like caterpillar-esque. They're not caterpillar-esque. They're just, she has a small face and, yeah. I don't know.
Good times.
But she is a good actress. Everything I've seen her in, I've enjoyed her role in. Oh, she was also in Pitch Perfect. Like two. I think. But she was a model before she became an actress. So, like, she got her start, like, in Orange is the New Black.
Mm.
And she was in the Resident Evil movie, Final Chapter. She was in one of the XXX movies. She was in John Wick Chapter 2. She was in Pitch Perfect 3, actually. The Meg.
The Meg. Shut up, Meg.
Shut up, Meg. Yeah, the shark did. And I think maybe that's why the shark wanted to kill everybody, because people told her to shut up. Shut up.
Oh, man.
But yeah, apparently, I guess she wasn't in Fast and the Furious. I think it must have been Xander Cage, because I remember seeing the return of Xander Cage, XXX. I remember seeing her fight Vin Diesel.
Hmm.
So, and then she's in a couple movies coming out. Cranston Academy Monster Zone is supposed to come out sometime this year. And then two movies that were in post-production, but I don't know, like, that's been delayed. One's called Red Notice and one's called The Doorman.
Gotcha.
But anyways, anime, Sean. Weave it up.
Anime. Weave it up, man. I don't know if I appreciate that conversation. You big jerk face.
I'm not wrong.
Anyways, so did you watch this one as well?
Cautious Hero is overly cautious?
Yes.
Yes. You had watched it the previous week and you wanted to talk about it on last episode. I'm like, no, let me watch it first. And then we'll discuss it together.
Together.
So that's pretty much like the only thing I did this week because of my work schedule. I watched that.
Gotcha. So the anime is about a hero who is like really is pretty powerful, but he like is very devoted to training and making sure he has everything perfect before fighting. So like as an example, like he was in the beginning, he was like fighting like he was like level like 15, 20. And he would be fighting, like, level 2 slugs, and he'd be doing, like, the most powerful attacks to make sure they were dead. So just a lot of, like, really just goofy attacks. But overall, for the anime, though, even though it is kind of, it is pretty stupid, and it has, like, the same reoccurring joke, I thought it was actually pretty enjoyable to watch. I thought all the characters meshed very well. It was kind of funny watching him like beat up on the different gods and stuff and angels for training. I thought the enemies were fine, and I thought it was kind of clever how like you knew he was going to win, but it was always like he always thought of like something that you didn't think of to as part of the training and to win. And I just thought the chemistry between all the characters, like the main group of characters between the god, the angel that was supposed to help him, and then the two like little dragon characters, he'd be like such a dick to them, but it was like he was just kind of like a weird guy. And so like he did care, but it always seemed like he didn't care at all. So
they explained it like in a later episode that you're like, it's like it went from being like pure comedy to like near the end. It's like almost like whoa. Why you gotta get serious, man? I just wanted to laugh. But it's funny, like watching this Like, I know people that play, like, RPGs. There are people that play RPGs like this. Like, somebody I used to work with, Mr. Chavo, like, his thing is, like, bring a tank to a knife fight when it comes to RPGs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And that's pretty much, like, his thing was, like, and there was a couple fights where even, like, the main villain that they were supposed to be fighting was like, dude, you really are, like, overly cautious, aren't you?
I thought it would be funny, too, because it'd be the, how irritated people would get, with him about shit was just comedy. But it was funny because he was like, I knew that you would betray me, and be like, how did you even know about this? And then it was like, I had a plan all along. It's just like, even though, like, you know the repetitive joke is coming, every time, like, they hit the punchline, it was always, like, enjoyable to watch during the multiple episodes. So, it never felt like it was stale. Like, I felt like One Punch Man, to me, was more stale than, like, this anime from, like, the joke line of where it was, like, you know, everybody knows, like, One Punch Man kills everybody in one punch, but it always felt like kind of meh, where this one, where he's the overcautious hero, which is going to, you know, be way too prepared, even though it was the same kind of joke type, they just seemed to execute it where I thought it was more funny, consistently. Right, and
did you watch it on Funimation?
I did.
Because I watched it on Hulu.
Did you?
Yes.
Got you. I watched the dub version.
So did I. It's like, because I wanted to watch it, but like, I knew I wasn't going to like feel like paying 100% attention to like reading.
Yeah.
So I watched the dub version, and I was able to get through it in like 3 days. Because of that, like, you know, and then I started watching another show, and I got, like, halfway through in, like, the same amount of time. So, but, yeah, I really enjoyed the show. Like, the only, like, for me, I kind of find new shows, like, they would, like, there's a couple YouTube channels where they just post, like, 3 to 5 minute clips of an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, you where you go to, like, Reddit for the memes.
Oh, gotta love those memes.
But, so the clip that I saw of this one was the one where the, like, the goth god, she made him the cake. And everyone, like, and then he like, yeah, I don't like cake. You know? And then she just lost her shit. And so I'm like, all right, what the hell's going on here? I gotta watch this.
Yeah,
but yeah, like.
Yeah, she was funny, and then, like, the crazy warrior god, like, enjoys painting, and, like, it was just ridiculous.
Right, and even like the god that taught him how to shoot arrows.
Yeah,
shoot. I don't know. Everyone was just crazy enough to like counterbalance like how just level and smooth he was.
Correct.
Because you just can't have like vanilla. You need like maybe a little bit of chocolate or sauce or sprinkles or a cherry or something to add some spice to it, some flavor.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But yeah, so it's on both the Funimation app and Hulu.
Hulu.
And then you watched another show, Sean.
I did. I watched an anime called Real Girl. This is a 24-episode anime. And when you look at the premise and you see 24 episodes, you're just kind of like, how is there this much story? And so the story is kind of basically about kind of like a nerdy guy that ends up dating like a really beautiful girl, and obviously there's a lot of like struggle with self-confidence because, you know, he feels like he's like borderline neat, and he only focuses on school, anime, and manga, and he has his nerdy friend, so it's like, why is this girl interested in me? And it's kind of like a very it's like romantic comedy, has drama, like, you know, coming of age and all the things that you really are looking for. And it goes back to my theory where the best animes are those 24 around the, you know, they're the 24 episode animes where it just has so much room to kind of really tell the story. But overall, it's I thought it was a solid 8 out of 10 anime. I thought the tempo of the story was really good. You had six main characters that kind of all had their own issues, and every and even like the episodes that weren't about the main two characters, it would go into like building the relationship between the other two characters and like their dating life, and it was very enjoyable. It was hard to say like there was any like bad episodes throughout. At the end, the last like three episodes, like there's like you get to like episode 21 and there's the major conflict that happens, and it takes three episodes to kind of bring it back together. It does have like a very concluded ending. The one thing I felt kind of like odd that I thought was really odd about the anime, and maybe it was just maybe that's how it was in the manga, but at the end there was two of the side characters, they had a very weird ending storyline. Like I get it, like maybe they all didn't have like an easily happily ever after high school, but it was like the girl like ended up getting married to another guy and was too busy to like attend something, and but at the end just randomly shows up and like, I'm back and I'm divorced, so okay, we could go out on a date now. It was like a very like terrible like ending. It was just like, it was just very confusing. Like that was like, I think the biggest thing that I thought was the weirdest thing. The only other bad things I thought was it always felt like it was always like he always was messing up like their relationship and having to always go back, and I felt like it was just like the same problem but in different scenes kind of throughout the show, and so it kind of got kind of repetitive on that front, where that's kind of why I docked it a few points of why I didn't think it was. It could have been better, I think, overall.
Okay, I mean, nothing's perfect, but that sounds about as close to perfect as you get if you're giving it an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought it was enjoyable. I liked like I said, I liked the drama. I thought the six kind of main characters all had good parts and interacted very well. There was good drama, good coming to life. But overall, I don't think it was top tier, but it was definitely good to watch.
Okay, I mean, yeah, it's not like something, it's not like a Kill la Kill or something like that where you'll just throw the dub version on and just watch it to have it as background noise when you're doing like
cleaning whatever. Showers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Pretty much, man. So Danny, I was getting my gaming on over the last couple weeks, and Persona 5 Royal came out. And I know you never got a chance to play Persona 5, correct?
Well, I mean, I had the chance, I just never took it.
Got you.
I played like the first little bit. I got to like the first dungeon,
mm-hmm.
or castle or tower or whatever it's called in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Then Christmas happened, and I just need to go back and probably restart it.
Mm-hmm. So Persona 5 Royal added a couple characters and added another kind of castle to the scene. They also enhanced the gameplay with a grappling hook, and then they also added more things that you could do outside of fighting to kind of build relationships. So I've played the base game and I played Royal, and Royal I thought was definitely it was definitely better, and I think the argument is how much better really is it? Because I did like the darts and the different towns and things that they added in. I thought the grappling hook made it a little bit more challenging to find some hidden spots and hidden treasures. So I thought overall Royal is better. If you've never bought a Persona 5 and you start and you just play Persona 5 Royal, you got the best situation in hand.
Well, I mean, we did that with 4. We never played 4.
Correct.
But we played Persona 4 Golden.
Correct.
So I think that's like the same as not playing Persona 5, but playing Persona 5 Royal.
I want to be royal.
I was like disappointed that you didn't use that once during your thing, so I had to.
Yeah, so now whether, you know, so now I paid $60 for both of these games. Well, I paid, you know, $120 for both of these games if you count 60 and 60. And now, was it really worth it to play both of them twice? I don't know if Royal was worth paying the full price for, now that it's set and complete. And the reason why I'm going to tell you, Danny, is you only get the extra semester if you meet the certain criteria.
Oh.
So if...
Yeah.
So, Danny, I played 110 hours into my gameplay, did not meet the criteria, so I did not get the bonus semester.
Wah, wah, wah. Is that the appropriate sound effect for you, Sean?
I think so. So, kind of my irritation with the game is why was the bonus semester and bonus like world hidden behind like a very you had to max out the relationship with 3 certain characters, and if you didn't do that, You got screwed, and you didn't get the bonus land. So it's kind of like, you know, I paid to play the game and to get the extra content, but I didn't get the content. So it's kind of
what you should be asking is this some sort of gameplay option feature that I'm not Japanese enough to understand?
I feel like my personal vendetta against some of the characters, and you know, because yeah. So you have to level up the 2 new ones, which makes the most sense. Okay, I got that piece. And then I don't want to spoil it, but there's another character that you have to do, but it's like, I don't like that character, so I was busy trying to wrap up other parts of Persona 5 that I didn't get to on my first gameplay, so I didn't level up that one, because I was like, well, I don't really care about that character, like, fuck them, like, I don't need to do that. But at the end, it, like, cost me the additional gameplay that I could have played.
Like if that character was more bangable, you probably would have leveled them up and you would have gotten the bonus character, bonus features, what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Sean?
Yeah, well, bang, okay. Danny, I will say though,
if you could waifu up that character, you could have got the bonus content.
Danny, I will say that I did waifu a different lady in the game, and like when I had to like shoot down my real waifu, like I was heartbreaking. I thought I felt like I did harm to myself, like. It was just like, why did I do this, you know? She's the real waifu for me. Why did I turn her down?
Well, like when I played Persona 4 Golden and I wanted to waifu up Chie.
Yeah.
And then, but then there was another character and I'm like, well, I like her too. Like if the option comes up first for her, if you're Chie, I guess I'll waifu her up. And then like I waifued up the second option. And then literally like the next day or the day after, Chie's like, hey, so, when are you going to waifu me up? And I was like, no!
Why me?
I guess I have to start this game over again.
Remember, folks, if you're playing Persona and you're dating a female character, there's probably a high chance that you could waifu them. So be careful with your choices.
Yes.
Public announcement.
And then same thing with Persona 4 Golden. Like, if you didn't meet certain criteria, you didn't get the bonus stuff at the end either.
Oh, so that's interesting, because I've only played it once, so I don't know if I did or didn't get it.
Like, because if it ended, like there was a point where it ended, and I was like, oh, it's over? Like, I didn't get to do these other things, and I read, and it's like, oh, I didn't meet the criteria. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Freaking terrible, man. Atlas, you guys are a bunch of bastards with your bonus criteria.
I mean, I know it's the Japanese, dude. Just blame the Japanese.
I will never forgive the Japanese for this.
The Japanese, like, that I'm upset about Japanese for is, like, hiding content behind, like, unbeatable criteria, making, like, the difficult, like, meeting, like, getting, like, level, like, at, you know, at the end of each level for certain games, it's, like, A, and then there's an S, and then there's, like, a triple S,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. It's, like, to get the highest ranking, you have to, like, meet certain criteria, and it's, like, all right, that's second on my list, because those, like, that makes it almost not fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to, like, go through in a certain time, and you have to use this character, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and then you can only get the highest rating.
Yeah.
Apparently Japanese don't like... My theory is that Japanese people don't play games for fun. They play games to stop themselves from jumping out of their office window.
Yeah. My only problem with Persona is that it is a true 100-hour game. And you gotta think, it took me like 100 to 110 hours. And I've already played the game previously. And I was, like, fast-pacing this. Like, it's just, like, the burnout is so easy to get to.
Right. And the Japanese hiding things from us white people.
So, like I said, overall, Persona 5 Royal is solid. So if you never played the series and you start on Royal, you're going to be very happy. Now, if you paid full price for it, and you're trying to debate on whether you should pay full price for Royal, I think it's kind of like, I don't know. I think it's probably not. I think you probably look at getting it a little bit cheaper before you do it.
Right.
I don't regret. Let me say, I don't regret buying it at full price and playing it because I did enjoy. I do enjoy the Persona franchise. I've played Persona 3, 4, and 5 twice now. So I think it was a really fun play, and I do like the additional things that they added. And maybe I'm just being overly salty about the not doing the bonus content. Because 'cause Danny Nick actually played through the first couple dungeons in Persona 5, bought Persona 5 Royal, and actually... got the new content, and he kind of gave me a little bit of flavor on it, and that's what makes me even more angry, because it was like, oh, like all this crazy shit that you wouldn't think of happened. It was like, no, why?
And your brother, you know, it's like there's not much in life he does better than you, but he plays Persona 5 better than you. And he probably waifued up the right girl better than you two.
I don't remember who he waifued in this game.
Who'd you waifu up in the Royal playthrough?
The Doctor.
Ah. I guess, yeah. Cause I met,
the punk Doctor.
Yeah, I think I just barely met her when I played, and that was about how far I got.
Gotcha.
And that's the thing, too, like, friend of the show man thing, like, when I was playing Persona 4, he was like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to try to waifu up this, like, one, like, Chie. And he's like, you know what, like, if you, like, plan on waifuing somebody up, you might want to do that on your second playthrough, like, your first one. Like, just play the game. And I'm like, screw you, man. Don't tell me, you're not the boss of me. And then I messed it up by waifuing up the wrong girl.
I did not mess up my waifu experience on Persona 4 Golden. I got Lisa-chan.
What's that? Nerd?
No. The singer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember who I ended up waifuing up, but it wasn't the one I wanted.
It was Teddy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Teddy. No, Teddy was my third choice.
A giant teddy bear.
A giant teddy, yeah, because it'd be like comforting.
That turns evil slightly.
Oh, so like you got Rise?
Yeah, Rise. And then fuck, I forgot. It's funny because like in Persona 3 and in Persona 5, both my waifus are the student council presidents. And then in 4, it's the pop culture singer.
Right. Oh, okay. I googled it. I entered it into Google machines.
Yes.
My waifu list.mo. Wait. I waifued up Marie.
Oh, gotcha.
Which was, like I said, my second choice, because I'm like, I like the way her character design. But she's no Chie. So if you played Persona 5 or 4, send us a message, tweet us, put on the social medias who you waifued up.
Who is the number waifu to you?
Yes, who's the waifu of your heart? And if you've listened this far, maybe give us a 5-star review on whatever device of choice you're listening us to, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Oh, wait, we're not on iHeartRadio because Sean didn't do that.
No, they just they listened to the show and they said no.
We didn't represent their band.
Hey, there was an attempt made, sir. Don't you bring this down on me.
You know, I mentioned earlier about how the guy like on Reddit said like Hitler killed himself more than 10 years ago, and someone's like, shit, he's not wrong. I mean, it was. It was like someone was like, you know, the best thing about Hitler is that he's the man that killed Hitler.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, you can find us on the Instagrams, the Facebook, even though we're not super active on the Facebook. I guess, like, Facebook is only used because you can also, like, just click a button on Instagram and also share it to Facebook.
Pretty much.
It's like, wow, you want to post us on Instagram? Yes. And it's like, hey, you want us to put this on Facebook too?
Facebook,
shit, Nico,
yeah.
That's all you gotta say.
Facebook is Instagram with extra steps.
Exactly. And then and more drama.
Exactly. Make sure you stay tuned to next week. I'll be talking about the new Spooderman game. Finally got around to playing it after my brother bought it for me and sent it to my house in some kind of protesting way because I wouldn't play it, so...
I thought he messed up and sent it to your house in Ohio, and it took this long to get to you.
No,
it Nick?
Yes,
I could see Nick doing something like that. It's like, dude, I've lived here for like 6 months. I didn't know.
No, he sent it to the right place. He was he was fed up that I wouldn't buy Spider-Man, and he bought it for me. So, me and him have been talking about it, but I have plenty more to say about Spooderman, but we'll have to wait till next time.
Can I just ask, I just want to know one thing.
Yes.
Is the game QuickTime Event heavy?
Is the what?
The game QuickTime Event heavy.
Oh, like random events happening?
No. I thought you were a gamer, bro.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm going to have to look it up. I don't know. We'll have to find out next time.
I'll tell you.
What?
QuickTime events, like they're like in Resident Evil, Bayonetta, and certain like games like that, and the Batman games are very QuickTime event heavy, where like you get in a situation and you have to push like specific button in a specific amount of time. Like push X, triangle, circle, triangle, square, X, left trigger.
Yeah, no, it's not overly heavy, and they're not overly complicated. Like, I'm playing on, like, normal version, and, because there's only, like, no competition, easy, normal, hard mode. And so I'm playing on normal, and it was, like, I mean, unless you have, like, a delay response time of, like, 20 seconds, like, it's very easy to do the things.
QuickTime events?
Yeah.
QTE? You can just like shorten it to QTEs, like all the cool kids.
I don't care about the cool kids. I'm my own cool kid.
Are you don't care about the cool kids? That's why you're a pumped up kid?
Exactly. I'm reading independent manga on the interwebs. That's how hipster and weebish I am. More of that to come next week too. Spoilers.
The nerd rapper MC Frontalot has a song about how like independent he is. It's like if he like even like talked to somebody at a record label, that would be considering he would consider himself a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's part of the reason why I kept away from it is because I'm not a huge fan of QTE games.
Yeah, no, there's really. They're, like, heavy. I mean, outside of like you have like you get like. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but I mean, the only thing that I noticed is like you have to dodge a lot, but that's because like you'll be fighting somebody, and because you're like there's a giant group obviously of criminals, and like somebody's about to like punch you from behind or shoot you, your spider sense will like tingle, and you have to like dodge so you don't get shot while you're trying to fight somebody else. That's the only like I would say. Quick time event thing that I would say is very repetitive, but like in the cutscenes and where it's like, oh no, train explosion! It's like hit R2 and L2.
Because that was like when I played like Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is it? The girl with the red hair and the arrows that shot robot dinosaurs.
Oh. Dude, I can't even
remember. I know her name is Aloy, but I can't remember the name of the game.
Aloy? Fuck, where is it? Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, luckily like, the game is right in front of me, so I could remember.
Okay. Like, you know, I was gonna say, like, I wanted to play P5 so much that I bought the Collector's Edition.
Yeah.
Which came with the, like, one thing that Atlas does really well compared to, like, a lot of Japanese companies is they actually give you the full soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Versus some companies where it's like they give you like a sampler where it's like four songs on the soundtrack.
Terrible.
And then one of the things that they gave you was like the school tote bag that I use as like carry-on luggage on like airplane trips now.
Gotcha.
Because it's like solid like canvas bag. It's like nice. It's not like the EA game that Anthem where it was like they promised like a cool bag and they sent one that was like a paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, our bad. After people complained. That, you know, so like that game and then the Kingdoms of Amalur that I played.
Yeah.
Like that game a lot of dodging. So I don't mind the dodging. It's just when you're in the middle, like all like the whole like Batman series or Bayonetta where pretty much combat is nothing but QTE.
Yeah.
Like you get to fight with somebody and it's like you can't fight, you just like press X, press circle, press triangle, press circle, press triangle, it's like fuck, dude, I just want to fight this dude. I don't want to like I'm not playing Dance Dance Revolution or Parappa the Rapper. You know?
That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Dance Dance Revolution.
I thought you were gonna say Parappa the Rapper was a game you hadn't heard for a name you hadn't heard for a while.
Well, I've never even heard of that one, so.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while. Not since I cut off your dad's legs and left him to die in a volcano. But yeah, so but then also same thing with Horizon Zero Dawn, I bought the Collector's Edition, which came with a pretty cool statue of Aloy. Like, blind, bought the Collector's Edition. Which I don't regret at all. That game was amazing. I can't wait. I'm, like, kind of torn if I want a sequel or not.
I do. Horizon?
Yes.
Oh, we're getting one, bro.
Well, I know, but I'm kind of torn because this game was so perfect. Like...
It was a very solid game. I mean, I guess it just depends on how they go about it. I mean, what the main... I think, you know, you're going to have your typical random side quests and stuff in that. It's going to be like, are the new monsters good enough for the world? And then where does the main story go, you know?
Because obviously... Right, I just hope they don't...
Yeah.
I just hope they don't Cars 2 it up.
Oh.
By putting in like, it's like, well, people like this, like they liked Mater, and it's like, let's make a whole movie wrapped around Mater, and it's like, no, we like Mater because it's like salt. We like salt in our food, but we don't want our food to be salt.
Fair enough.
Which is a fitting metaphor because so many people are very salty about Cars 2.
Exactly.
All right, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
Later.